Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, August the 10th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are in the Big Book reading We Agnostics, page 56, the fifth paragraph down, Thus Was Our Friend's Cornerstone. Through one paragraph ending, God has restored his sanity. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Charlene G., the 12 Traditions, Karen S., and the readers of the text are Alex K., Eileen M., and Wendy M. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday, August the 9th, the special edition, is 23,711. That's 23711. And for Monday, August 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23712. That's 23712. Our newcomer greeter is Anne SCH, and our announcements person is Shelley E. And thank you all for your service. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Charlene G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning, Mo. This is Charlene G. Here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for the opportunity to serve. I pass.
And thank you very much. That's Charlene G. And I will now ask Karen S. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen S. from Texas. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous shall remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve.
Well, thank you very much, Karen S., and she is from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 56 in the chapter We Agnostics, the fifth paragraph down. Thus was our friend's cornerstone, through one paragraph ending, God has restored his sanity. And I will now ask Alex K. to read that paragraph and to comment for us for 3 minutes. Thank you, Alex.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, giving a reprieve for today. Thus, our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. No later vicissitude has shaken it. His alcoholic problem was taken away. That very night, years ago, it disappeared, save for a few brief moments of temptation, the thought of drink has never returned, and at such times a great revulsion has risen up in him. Seemingly, he could not drink even if he would. God had restored his sanity. I like the word cornerstone. It's a very solid, sturdy word and idea, and I looked up the definition. It says foundation, something essential. My relationship with my higher power is essential to my recovery. It's the foundation on which I can build a strong recovery. I remember hearing early on that recovery is like a three-legged stool, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and each leg of the stool needs to be strong so that the stool is balanced. And years ago, before I developed a connection with my higher power, I said to my sponsor, I understand the physical and emotional part, but I don't quite get the spiritual part. And she said rather impatiently, it's all spiritual. And I didn't understand that at the time, but I do now. Without my higher power's help, I can't recover physically or emotionally. I have a disease only a spiritual solution can address. And despite my initial resistance to that, my mind and heart slowly and gradually opened, and today I have a strong connection with my loving, compassionate higher power that I'm so grateful for. And I have a faith that feels unshakable despite any vicissitudes, which means unpredictable ups and downs, hard times of life. Even in the most difficult challenges, I know I'm okay and can go through it with my higher power. There's no problem too big for my higher power. I used to be like a tiny blade of grass getting whipped around by the winds of life and my emotions. I was so easily knocked over and felt unable to cope. And now I feel as if I'm growing into a strong oak tree that can withstand any wind because I'm with my higher power. And no matter what happens, I won't be knocked over. I'm on a strong, solid, sturdy footing and foundation with my higher power. Seemingly, he could not drink even if he would. I used to have funny thoughts like, if I had only a month to live, would I eat my binge foods? Or if someone paid me $1 million to eat them, would I? Or if someone could guarantee that I could eat them with no negative consequences, would I eat them? And the answer is always no. I still wouldn't want to. I'm completely content with my abstinent meals. I love what I eat. It feels good to eat healthy foods that nourish my body and give me fuel and don't make me sick, and I wouldn't want to change anything even if I could. I don't miss my binge foods. I have no interest in them at all. I recoil from them as from a hot flame, as it says in the 10th step promises. That's really a miracle, more evidence of my higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. I'm being restored to sanity. So appreciate all these miracles in my life. Thanks, everyone, for helping me with my recovery today. I pass.
Thank you, Alex K. from California, for getting us started. We all help each other with our recoveries. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that is on either of our meetings. So who would like to share on this topic?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Elena C.
Elena C. Anyone else?
Kay from Iowa.
Deborah
K. Kay. What's your last initial, Kay?
Yes.
Yes, okay, got you, Kay. Was there somebody else in there?
Deborah G.
Oh, I thought I heard you, Deborah G. Thank you, Deborah. I have Eileen. I have Karen KZ, Eileen M, Elena C, KS, and Deborah G. Anyone else in this lineup? Otherwise, everyone mute except Karen KZ. Good morning. And tell us where you're calling from, Karen.
Hi, Mo. Thanks for your service. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. I love this whole ending of this chapter. It's so powerful. And the paragraph before tells us why his cornerstone's in place and that his alcoholic problem has been taken away because he finally came to believe in a power greater than himself. And he really had that wonderful experience. And I've had that experience many, many times, in fact, daily. But I realized that without coming to believe over and over and over and over again, if I get back into self and into Karen and Karen figuring things out, I'm really on shaky ground. So I have to continually trust and rely on infinite God and not myself. And I'm really struggling with that right now, by the way, because I'm making a trip tomorrow. And I don't like to travel. I don't like out of my routine. I don't like it that way. It's not my script, right? But I continually have to remind myself that God is going with me. God is with me every single second. And God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And God continually restores me to remembering that, that I call that sanity, that I'm not alone. And so I'm going to get through this trip. But, you know, I'm not perfect at this. In fact, right now I'm not perfect at all because I keep slipping back in and I keep being reminded, trust and rely on God. And it says that the thought of drink has never returned. The other thing I found about that is that I had to really be entirely abstinent. I thought I was. I gave up sugar and flour and crunchy, salty snacks and butter and all kinds of things. But I wasn't careful. And thank goodness to my sponsor who asked me to check those ingredients again. And since I've given them up, I have no desire to eat anything. So even though we talk about it all the time, I really just still didn't get it. So keep coming back, folks, and keep listening, keep asking for help, but most of all, keep believing there's a power greater than you that is going to get you through everything. And just give thanks all day long for all the ways that you are blessed by this God of your understanding. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That is Karen KZ from Missouri. Up next is Eileen M., followed by Elena C. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered compulsive eater in New Hampshire. Thanks for your service, Mo. I was just looking at the previous paragraph, and I love this image of it. It says, he stepped from bridge to shore. It's so beautiful, so powerful. You know, so I'm looking also at the word vicissitude. It's such an interesting word because it means a change in circumstances, usually unpleasant. So I think that's, you know, that's really very promising. It says the thought of, you know, drink has never returned. You know, it's interesting. It also, on page 57, says the word temptation, that, you know, except he had a few temptations. And here's the thing is we can have temptation but not obsession. And there's a big difference. You know, there's a difference. And, you know, I was thinking about you know, I've had plenty of vicissitudes since I recovered. I mean, I've had many, actually. And, you know, the thought of compulsively overeating has not occurred to me. It's just incredible. You know, since the food obsession was taken away from me, you know, I've realized that the spiritual awakening that I got, you know, as the result of the steps, and like what was said, you know, I went through the steps entirely abstinent. And the spiritual awakening gave me the power of choice so that, you know, yeah, maybe there's temptation, but I don't have to make the choice to overeat. I no longer have to do that, you know. And I used to think before I was recovered that that was the only solution. If there was some, you know, unpleasant circumstance, that, you know, food was the answer, you know. But that's the difference today, is that I don't have to. So I have the power of choice. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that because I just never knew this was even possible. Anyway, that's the miracle of it. You know, when we get restored to sanity, and that's what it says here, is he's restored to sanity. And, you know, here's the thing is that, you know, you think about, well, okay, I've been restored to sanity, so what now? You know, and the thing is I have to remember that it's promised in the book that we have to continue to take action in order to continue to be free from obsession, right? You know, we don't just stop here. We don't stop at step 12 and say, oh, we're done. We have to keep taking the action every day. And, you know, I love to think about, you know, we continue to take inventory in step 10. We fill the channel in step 11 through prayer and meditation. That's so we can be helpful to other people, so we can be useful in step 12. And, you know, I can't imagine a world today in which I'm not taking action every day. Yesterday I had family visiting and we went to the beach and I had a great time with them. And, you know, I was with them all day long, but I got home and I thought, wait a minute, you need to make outreach calls because you haven't made any today. You know, I need to stay connected with fellows. And I was getting into bed last night at 10:30 and someone texted me and said she was struggling. And she said, you know, can you take a call? And I said, yes, absolutely. You know, because in doing service that way, you know, she was helping me as well. So thanks so much, and I pass with that.
Thank you very much. That's Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Up next is Elena C., followed by K.S. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, Eastern Time. and gratefully recover for today. And I just, the sentence that jumped out at me was, is God had restored his sanity. So it doesn't say here that he restored his sanity by doing this and this, that other people, his sponsor returned to restore him to sanity. It says God. And, you know, and it's a reminder for me that in all that I do have to find God, and I can access God through prayer and meditation and other spiritual practices. And, you know, God could guide me in everything that I do. I am dealing with obtaining the title property from my parents' house. They both are deceased, and a series of obstacles, you know, I'm facing a series of obstacles from the other person who inherits the property, from authorities in another country. And, you know, it's, I see a part of me says, damn, you know, like, why this has to happen? Like, why can it be easy? And that is my, maybe my selfishness, that I want things to be very easy. Or there's another way I could look at it, and that is, this is an opportunity to practice spirituality in this. And how do I practice spirituality in this? Is by accessing God and continuing to ask, show me the next right thing to do. I don't have to ask, show me, if I don't have to ask, hey, God, you know, can I get the title property or what? And all I need to do is show me the next right thing to do and help me know that you are responsible with my sanity, not what other people do or don't do. And also help me to know your will for me in this area. You know, and it's happening one day at a time. I get inspiration to do something or to say something or to call this and this person. And it's just absolutely amazing, because in the journey, this journey with God is easy. It really is. I don't have to struggle. And I'm so glad that I can understand that. And, you know, and I'm staying abstinent through all of this because God is restoring me to sanity. God has restored my abstinence. Nobody else. And I am so glad for this idea, this experience. That's very freeing. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Elena C. from South Carolina. Up next is K.S., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Kay.
Did you say it's Kay from Iowa's turn? Hello?
Kay, you're bleeping in and out. Try again.
Hello? Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. I never know if I got the right button pushed. Well, I always think of this. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for everybody's service of being here. I can't tell you how your shares have meant, how much they have meant to me. And I'm starting to think of my morning. I've got a title for my next book. It'll be Monday Mornings with Mo. But anyway, I really love this paragraph. It is a program of action and tools and steps. But I think the cornerstone in being restored is really sitting in the presence of that infinite power, love, and truth. And it is action and steps, very practical things, but it is, miracles are the cornerstone. And it's like it's God's timing, it's God's plan. All these things that, for a person who likes to take charge, be in control, make it happen, it is really it's soothing in a way. Like, it's where yang doesn't work anymore, only the yin, you know, the difference between surrender and take charge. And, you know, my safety zone feels like it needs to be in charge, but the reality is really more the yin, the better. I'm really better in all ways if I can be in the presence and sit and get centered and restored in that, when I'm with the presence of that power, that love, and that truth. And that has been the miracle of this program. And I feel so lucky to be among people. And I'm a person who, trust me, it's been a long road. But I agree, don't leave until the miracle happens. So anyway, I just want to thank everybody that's here. I'm starting to do my outreach calls. That was my latest thing from my sponsor. I wasn't doing that. And it has been extremely helpful. And so I've gotten to talk with a lot of nice, wonderful people that are on the same journey, my friends in the program. And so anyway, that's all I got. Thanks, Mo.
Kay, tell us where you're calling from again.
Oh, I'm sorry. K.S. from Iowa.
Iowa. Okay, that's K.S. from Iowa. Before I take Deborah G., let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 56. The chapter, We Agnostics, the fifth paragraph down, thus was our friend's cornerstone through one paragraph ending, God has restored his sanity. After Deborah, I will take another list of names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you. So good to hear you. Thank you so much for your service this morning and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all those that have 12-stepped me. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I am so glad you're here with us. You never have mm-hmm. to suffer. And I was being reminded of when I was in the throes of my disease thinking. I was in the middle of doing Herb Kay's workshop. And I woke up from the unconsciousness of the insanity I was in my head experiencing, and I had a fork in one hand and a salt shaker in the other, and I was salting every single bite of food I was putting in my mouth. I wasn't even tasting my food, and I was able to see that insanity, and I called someone to help me, and she did. I asked her to sponsor me and take me through the steps quickly. She did, and I got restored. Oh, it was amazing to see where I was and where I was after I went through those beautiful 12 steps abstinent. In fact, that got lifted right away when I started doing the steps. And I love to see my sponsees when they're in that same place, maybe different circumstances, but they're in that same place of insanity. And after they go through the steps, oh, and they don't have to suffer anymore. And the mind has changed. The consciousness, connectedness with that power. See, because I have no power. That's the big one. I have no power. And when I think there's two powers or that I have power, that right there, I'm in insanity right away. So I'm really grateful to be here and with all of you. And that's all I have.
Well, thank you, Deborah G. She is from Arizona. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, those who haven't shared in the last 3 days on either meeting?
Doreen N.
Doreen N?
Yes.
Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth D.
Yes, I got you, Elizabeth. Thank you. Doreen N. and Elizabeth D. You're welcome. Anyone else? I have Doreen N. Elizabeth D. Press star one. Please.
Mary Jane Kay.
Mary Jane Kay. I know, from California. Anyone else? All right, we'll go with those three. Doreen N., Elizabeth D., and Mary Jane Kay. Everyone mute except Doreen N. Good morning, Doreen.
Yes. Good morning, Mo. Good morning, Team Monday. Doreen, grateful compulsive overeater, and restored me to sanity. Just those words restored me to sanity, whether it's 3 or 4 or whatever it is. I have been insane, thinking like, ooh, I can be like a normal eater again. And this is for life. I have this for life. This is the disease. And I've been really insane the past couple of weeks. I'm still in detox from my donuts. And I can tell you, I noticed the sky. I'm like, oh, my God, those clouds are so beautiful. And then where I work, it's very picturesque and a lot of scenery. Oh, my God, look at that beautiful mountain in this hill country. When I'm in the donuts and eating ferociously in the car like an animal, you know, getting their prey, I don't notice that. I just drive and I go into autopilot and I become a human doing, not a human being. And I'm so happy that I come to this meeting every day and I get to hear very strong recovery. The disease makes me insane, like I belong in an asylum. I mean, for real, that's how it makes me feel. But now I can reach out to God and he takes care of me and I get him to hold me. And I'm so thankful for my abstinence. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much. That's Doreen N., and she is from Texas. Up next is Elizabeth D.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Massachusetts, but I'm traveling in California this week. And so I'm, first of all, very grateful that this meeting is here and that I can check in at this hour and get the infusion I need, because that's what these meetings are for me. It's like an infusion of recovery that I need regularly. This phrase, restored him to sanity, is very a powerful one. And I have the last time I went through the steps, it was explained to me that Bill and the writers of the Big Book, when they talk about insanity in this context, they're real in the step one context in particular. They're not talking about, or at step one, two, and three, they're not talking about insanity in a psychological sense, like in the sense of an illness that you would bring to a psychiatrist. They're talking about the Latin root of the word sanity, which is sanus, which means health. And what is that? What does insanity mean? It means unhealthy. So I am a victim of unhealthy thinking when it comes to food, my trigger foods, ingredients, and behaviors. Over many years, I've determined what those things are, and it does evolve over time. But when I ingest those foods, ingredients, or behaviors, or take them in or practice them, I start acting in a way that is not normal around them. I cannot stop, and then I will eat my way up 60 to 100 pounds. And also, the second part of the first step is that my life is unmanageable. Even when I'm abstinent, my life can be unmanageable by me, alone, without a higher power. And if I'm not practicing the steps every day as a first priority in my life, unhealthy thinking will start to creep in. It will say to me, oh, it'll be different this time. You're under a lot of stress. Why don't you go have XYZ food, ingredient, or behavior? Why don't you just, you can go back. It'll be different. You can start again on Monday. That is unhealthy thinking. And what I have found in Overeaters Anonymous through working the Big Book process in the way that I've learned on in this meeting is that I have a twofold illness and I need to be addressing both. And this insanity that I have around my food I can be restored to healthy thinking around my food and not succumb to that unhealthy message that tells me that it'll be different this time. the obsession can be lifted from me if I put my will and my life into the hands of my higher power, who I call God, and give me a life, thank you, and give me a life I never imagined I could have, of peace and happiness, not without challenge, but certainly a life that was infinitely better than the one that I was living when I was trying to run my life by myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Elizabeth D., who is from, I think, Massachusetts, but traveling in California. Before I take Mary Jane, let me remind everybody where we are on page 56 of We Agnostics. The fifth paragraph down, thus was our friend's cornerstone, through one paragraph ending, God has restored his sanity. And after Mary Jane, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Mary Jane. Press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, this is Mary Jane from California, food addict. And I just want to say that I was on a meeting with Herb K also, and I shared with him, and then somehow, some way, God restored me to a place where I had a choice, or I felt like I was exercised, that the addiction was lifted. So I have been abstinent for 5 or 6, 7 days now, and it's just such a blessing. It's a miracle, and I just wanted to tell people to, you know, I didn't have any choice even to surrender. It just felt like I was totally powerless, and just that the steps work, and just exactly what the reading was, it was lifted. I couldn't do it. God did it, and it's amazing, and I'm just so grateful to be in the safe zone of God's keeping and God's grace. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Mary Jane. She is from California. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? I can take 3 more. Good.
Sharon B. from Michigan.
Sharon B.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else?
Sherry H.M. Washington.
Sherry H.M. from Washington.
Karen H. from Florida.
Karen H. I will stop there. From Florida. All right. We have Sharon D., Sherry H.M., and Karen H. Everyone else mute except Sharon B. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo, for your service and everyone who does service here. And thanks for all the amazing shares today. Oh, my gosh. I was, as I was listening, I gained so much from the shares. But also, I was thinking of the cornerstone. And the cornerstone, when you look it up, the cornerstone is the first stone that's set in the foundation of a masonry building, is what it says. It depicts the angles of the building. If you have a square building, it would be at a square angle. You know, if you have a building that's going to be, you know, octagon, then it would be that shape. And so it helped to create and show what direction that building would be going. Like, what direction is my recovery going? Where is it going to take me? This cornerstone can tell me that. And then also, the cornerstone also contained a time capsule of sorts, something from, it could be about the people who built the building, it could be about the era that it was built, but it held not only our past, but our future, you know, and I love how it brings me back to the simplicity of the third step. you know, take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. My past, where I am, what brought me here, and where I am when I do this, and when I get my beginning, helps to create where I'm going later. It makes it possible. And y'all make it possible. This book makes it possible. It is a new beginning. It is a new start. It is my cornerstone, which is firmly in place. And I love all the references that Bill W. uses for this. And with that, I will pass. Thanks, family. Sharon B. from Michigan.
Thank you very much. That's Sharon B., as she said, from Michigan. Up next is Sherry H.M., followed by Karen H. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Mo, and fellow groupies out there. Sherry H.M., Sherry with a C, gratefully recovered from Washington State. By the grace of God, next Saturday it will be 12 years, and I love how this says cornerstone that was fixed in place, and so many people have talked about that. That said, without the other parts, all we would have is a cornerstone of a building that never was. And so for me, I don't do it, you know, perfectly, but work in the other steps, especially the emotional buildup, you know, my fourth step, my tenth step. What is eating at me? Because if I don't address what's eating at me, then I'm going to eat my way into an affair with my refrigerator. And so that's been one of the greatest gifts, is that, you know, God has taken away that obsession of sugar, and I just recoil from it. That's an absolute miracle. I always thought there's no way that can happen. Well, the only way was with my higher power, whom I call God, but also the gifts of, you know, really working the steps and not just saying, no, I'm too tired, I've got other things to do. And so I'm so grateful for all of you wonderful groupies out there, and have a blessed day, and I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Sherry H.M. Up next is Karen H., and we may have time for one more share after Karen. So good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. So happy to be here this morning with all of you. The cornerstone, yes, the cornerstone for me is God. And when it says, who are you to say there is no God? I said there was no God. I said there was no God for decades in the traditional rooms of OA. I started OA when I was 16. And I said there was no God until 16 years ago, when I finally found a big book group that walked me through with a recovered sponsor. And isn't it magnificent that by doing these exact, precise, specific directions, as they guide us to do vigorously, diligently, intensively, that without much effort on my part at all, I was able to be free from the prejudice and the disdain and the years of rejecting, and I was able to find an opening for putting this cornerstone in place, which only has grown these last 16 years that I have been doing the daily practice, for which I am eternally grateful. Yes, I came in because of food and eating and weight and all of the mental gymnastics that go on daily in my mind, the insanity. Oh, the insanity that raced through my head was pretty terrible, if anybody could actually ever see the thoughts that raced through my head on a daily basis. They probably could have put me in a, you know, straitjacket, but I appear to be relatively normal, so I went around like that. But this restored to sanity, I never was restored to sanity in decades and decades of working a quasi-program, which was mostly going to thousands of meetings, which gave me relief, but never sanity or restored me. I didn't know that it was possible to recover And it is only, and you know, I was just reading earlier the 10-step promises, and this passage reminds me, line by line, we could see how what he's talking about is right there in the 10-step promises, of which I never heard of in the decades that I was in the rooms, but we did have the 9-step banner up on the wall. So I knew the 9-step promises, but I never knew the possibility that I can be free from this mental obsession and this chronic craving. I thought that that would be just forever, but the problem had been removed just like almost automatically without much effort on my part. You know, I didn't swear off. It's just that it was taken away. That never could have happened without me finding this wonderful cornerstone God that has miraculously changed the way that my mind works today, the peace that I am able to have, you know, without this mouse on a wheel running and running and running. I'm telling you, like in the 11th step, when it talks about burning up energy foolishly, that I was exhausted all the time, and now I can be, you know, just breathe, and the shoulders cannot feel like bricks on them. I'm telling you, this small, beautiful passage, thank you so much, is God. It is cornerstone. It is practice in this beautiful book. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you very much, Karen H. And we have time for a 2-minute share. Who would like to take the last 2 minutes?
Peggy W. from Wisconsin.
Who is that?
Peggy W. from Wisconsin.
Okay. All right, you got it, Peggy. Go.
Well, good morning, everyone. Peggy W. from Wisconsin. And, God, I just love this topic about HP. I am a definite firm believer in a higher power, and I call it God. He's been doing for me what I really can't do for myself. I am almost absent 30 days, which, by the grace of God, I'm just shocked here. I stayed absent for 11 months and had a break and couldn't get my abstinence back. Like, I just, how they say it's cutting, baffling, powerful. When you go out into the food, and in the beginning it was just abstinent food, it definitely sets off an uncontrollable craving for wanting more. And in this disease, it's always about more. And so I'm just so thankful to have, I don't know, 23 days today or something like that, and I'm just like, what? But anyways, I just wanted to say that, and it's because of all of you that show up here every day that give me your strength and hope and all the other things. So thank you for that, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Peggy W., and she is from Wisconsin, for closing out our meeting. And thank you all who gave service and shared. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Eileen M. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Eileen.
Thank you, Mo. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.